Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Tata Sharma.
They're eighth in baseball with runners in scoring position. Perfectly fine, but they're tumbling down. The last 2 weeks, they're, 29th in these situations when it comes to batting average, when it comes to weighted runs created plus. They're pulling the ball, again, way too much. And talk to Joe Maddon. What does he want to see? Use the entire field. I think that shifts. I expect it to shift, but always been below what their normal offense is with runners in scoring position during this run of playoffs. This year, they're actually doing better with runners in scoring position than they are overall. So I think that's a positive sign. I expect it to turn, but like I said, past 2 weeks, it's just something that I'm watching. I'm not going to freak out about these things, but also we have a history with this team where we talk about it repeatedly, and it's something that gets hammered home a lot. So you just want to see it turn.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on the Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. We got some baseball talk ahead of Mike Florio with football at 10. Some doings, some happenings in the discussions, apparently, between the union and the league regarding an extension of the collective bargaining agreement. And I guess things proceeding relatively peacefully at this point, surprisingly enough.
It's still time for a governing body to screw things up.
I guess we have some fascinating and special sound from an overnight caller.
Very much.
I've not heard this.
Neither have I.
They have not let us hear. So we're going to hear it for the first time with you coming up a little bit later on in the show. We're also going to get an update from the Score's own Joe Ostrowski. I guess there's been legal machinations and wrangling regarding the possibility of legalized sports betting in this state. Illinois is Illinois-ing right now.
Fascinating. The governing body could screw something up like that.
That what was once considered a 99% possibility of having legalized gambling in this state, now down by some experts' belief to maybe 70%. Midday Midway at 10:40. Bears list. We are going to get numbers 25 through 50.
Spring in your step this morning, stepping into the office.
Go Bears! We are going to get the third tranche of Bears all-time names, and it's very exciting for meatballs like me. Talk some baseball with Brian Kenny at 11:30 and giveaways. Man, a shot at $1,000 cash. Excellent. And a foursome of golf at the Grand Geneva Resort and Spa in Lake Geneva, home of the Brute and the Highlands Championship Golf Courses. Visit GrandGenevaGolf.com. This segment is brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're racing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Memorial Day Monday, a beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Friday's College Day. Saturday features food trucks, live music. Sundays designed with families in mind. Close out the long weekend on Monday. Holiday racing and entertainment. Visit ArlingtonPark.com for details and VIP experiences. 312-644-6767. That's our number, WSCR, The Score. You email us at BernsteinandMcKnight at 670thescore.com. That's where you listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. You can send a text or a sext to 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein_MCK. He's at C1 McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. Download the radio.com app.
Kawhi Leonard is a joy even on one leg.
That way you can stream the Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. The team is back. It's Zawoski. It's Camp. It's the Mexicutioner, Ray Diaz.
The wedded Mexicutioner.
How about
that? I mean, do we have to change the title? Does he just keep Mexicutioner? Well done, sir.
Mrs. Mexicutioner.
Yep, and then soon there will be little Mexicutioners running around Mexicuting everything they see.
Oh, thank God. We've been short on Mexicutioners and little ones, too, so that's good.
Do we know how hurt Javier Baez is?
I wish we did.
We don't, right?
No, we really don't. I know in the post game he was talking with Len and JD, and between being very excited about the walk-off single, being very cold on account of the Gatorade baths, and nearly swearing two or three times while on the broadcast, he expects to play tomorrow today. hopes to be in there, but really we're not sure. You saw him take off down the first base line after knocking that thing in a right field. It was three ginger steps, and that was it. I mean, that was about it for Javi. You know, no wasted motion, no extra anything, no eyewash here. Just a first pitch, hanging slider. Thank you so much, and we'll see you tomorrow. That was it.
I don't know what's going on with Baez, and I don't know if he's – at some point, you can, like, compel somebody to be diagnosed, right? I mean, you can get him in there and take a look at him and say, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. I know you're a tough guy, but the look on his face was real when he went down. I know you were a little
– Well, he just
dubious.
Has a way about – not yeah. dubious of the injury, not at all. I don't doubt the guy and his toughness. I just –
He's dramatic.
He has – yeah, he plays with a lot of flair and a lot of drama, and that doesn't stop even when he gets hurt. Why should it? I'm not asking him to change his ways. Just, you know, you watch it, and you can't help but wonder each time he gets hurt if his leg just fell off or if it's just a hangnail.
Yeah, but they've
you
got
just
responsibility to make sure that they're not doing any more damage by having him play and say, hey, look, Javi, love you, and I love your toughness and the whole old school thing, but we're going to do some diagnostics here. Let's do some imaging and let's see how it is.
I am sure they've taken him through his steps. Theo Epstein's going to be on with Mac and Shep today at 3:30. Ah. I know they'll grill him then and try and find out the most they can about Javi Baez, but you can tell the difference in the lineup, even with a hot Chris Bryant, even with Anthony Rizzo back, even with Albert Almora hitting like he's been listening to Joe Sheehan on our show for the last 3 weeks. It's, you know, it's different when Javi Baez is in there. It just is. And I, you know, you take last night's one pitch and it's a hanging slider out and away. Now, the danger, we've talked about this a lot. Javi strikes out a lot. And as the pinch hit happened, you might have gone, oh boy, I mean, Javi's Javi and everything like that, but he's hurt and he strikes out a whole lot. Why are you going to put him into this situation? Descalso's got this, you know, shorter stroke. You can let him do his thing. No, no, no.
And by the way, Descalso can't throw.
Every time you just hope and pray it's going to get to first base.
He can't throw.
He's smart. He makes decisions very fast, and he has to because that arm is it's a wet noodle.
What the hell? I mean, on the double play that wasn't. I know
you're talking about the Russell flip.
About the Russell flip, and yeah, it was not a great flip. He didn't have it well in his hand. He put a, you know, he would do a humpback flip.
That flip gets turned.
Yes, get the ball to first.
Yeah, that flip gets turned.
Come on, man.
He'll be fine. He's a manageable second baseman. If Dan Uggla can play second base,
don't give me Dan Uggla
if
already.
Dan Uggla
this
can
is
play second
Godwin's
base.
Godwin's law of second base
for eight
discussion.
Years.
Is it Moore's law?
Dan Uggla so much.
If you've already invoked Dan Uggla, we're in a bad place.
I know, but no. Javi showed you something last night. We've been talking about for quite some time on this show.
He did. We get into that in detail, and also some numbers. The Cubs have been winning games. They're not playing very
it's
well.
Been a little lucky lately.
Here comes the pitch. Baez swings. Line drive. Base hit down the right field line. Fly the W. The Cubs win. Rizzo scores on the pinch hit. Walk-off single by El Mago, the magic man. Magnifico tonight.
Magnifique. Bravissimo, El Mago.
Zach's got
Magnifico.
Another one tonight, right?
I think so.
Yeah, Zach's got another one. Nice to hear, Zach. Plenty of action for Zach in that game, even though it was kind of low scoring and a late winner for the Cubs. We've told you quite a bit here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. That's what you have, by the way, 9 a.m. to noon here on 670.
Hello,
score.
Hey.
to make noises. Oh, Dan's very excited today. That's probably why.
Mention the video stream? I don't know if
you
did.
You mentioned the video stream. Right, we said hi, hello to the video cameras.
Hi,
Brian
again.
Kirch runs that.
Yep.
You can watch Dan as he reacts to the next tranche. That's what you're calling them, right? Tranche of Bears players?
I think that's the proper word.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just want to make sure we're using the same terminology.
A tranche is a sequence. Grouping, yep. Right?
I believe. You could also just say the next part of the list so people know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, grouping.
I think it's from the French tranche, but it's used in financial terms. They talk about you're moving money. If you're dollar cost averaging, you move the money in tranches rather than in one fell swoop.
It's different than
cool.
A tranche, like
cool.
When you're
cool.
Digging stuff out.
Yeah, different than that.
It's a tranche. We just got it. Everybody hits trench diggers.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so the next 25 of the top 100 Bears comes out a little later during the show, and Dan will lose his mind there. Zach lost his mind on the walk-off last night. It was a blast. It was a ton of fun. But, you know, you heard Sahadev Sharma when we opened the show. We had him on yesterday. Cubs using the opposite field is it's a recipe for success for them so far this year. And when you think to as many exciting endings as they've had over the last week, week and a half, Len Casper's had a bunch of walk-off calls. Zach has had a few. Pat's certainly had a dozen. It's because they've played tight games.
Yep.
And they've played tight games because they've not come up with a whole lot of hits with runners in scoring position, which can vacillate back and forth. But my worry is this. We saw this on Tony Andracki's Twitter feed. He ran the numbers. He of NBC Sports Chicago. Cubs bullpen over the last week, 25 innings pitched, 32 hits, 14 earned runs, 11 walks, 4 homers, 15 strikeouts. It's a 5.04 ERA. It's a 1.72 whip. It's only 5.5 strikeouts per nine. And if you take the last 7 days, you know, the rolling averages and whatnot, Cubs relievers have been worth negative 0.4 Fangraphs WAR. It's been a down stretch for relievers right now. It has been. They've come up with some big moments and they've been a little lucky to win a few ball games. The thing about it is, good teams can do that. You know, when you've got as many impact hitters in the lineup, and a couple guys trending upward. It'd be nice to see Jason Hayward get back to some of the work he'd been doing the first 2 weeks. But,
yep.
You know, there are some hitters in here that can carry you through times of trouble. That's what the bullpen's been through.
They're in it. I mean, they need it. And by the way, there's going to be a Cubs roundtable on these airwaves at 1 o'clock today during the Lawrence Holmes show. Tony Andracki is going to be one of the guys with Sahadev Sharma, with Evan Altman, and they're going to get a bunch of really smart Cubs
smart
voices.
Damn baseball yeah. people there.
Yeah, a lot of good baseball stuff coming your way at 1. And again, that's ahead of Theo Epstein with Mac and Shep today at 3:30. So this is your one-stop shop for all things Cubs baseball today, your home of the Cubs on Sports Radio 670.
I just, you know, it's starting pitching too. You know, that's what's also kept them in and around so many ball games. Whether it's, you know, Cole Hamels going deep, whether it's Jose Quintana turning in another one. Q, by the way, over his last, you know, he had that big hiccup against Milwaukee in the second outing of his season. He gave up the 8 earned runs. Over his last 8 starts, a 2.32 ERA. Check these two numbers out. 12 walks, 43 strikeouts. 12 walks, 43 strikeouts. And we saw him the other night, that curveball is doing a lot of work. He's bounced back and forth in between starts, between having to use that change
right.
and that curve and making those big-time out pitches, swing and miss pitches. And he's been able, like when one's not there, he's found the other and vice versa for both the change and the curve. That is so crucial for him.
We talked a little bit during transition yesterday about the dust-up between Todd Frazier and and Adam Eaton and what is going on between those two. Frazier initially declined to comment on what's going on.
Yeah, that wasn't going to last long.
And I think we should probably let people know what we know about
okay.
this. And hear from Todd Frazier.
And because, hear from Ozzie Guillen.
Right, and from Ozzie Guillen. But Todd Frazier broke his silence on it. It goes back to the 2016 White Sox.
Yeah.
The cavalcade of weird that was with everybody. That was Drake LaRoche and Adam LaRoche.
I was there.
Jimmy Rollins and Chris Sale mm-hmm. and Drake's a leader and Tim Anderson coming up and Brett Laurie and everything else. That was just a complete mess. You were there.
It was. It was a 23-10 start and then the rest of it.
We want to hear from Frazier. We want to hear what Ozzie Guillen had to say about it and just sort of put a bow on that pile of ridiculousness ahead of Mike Florio at the top of the hour.
It's Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Eaton, nobody like you in a White Sox uniform in the clubhouse. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Fake nice guy, apparently. Not well-liked in the clubhouse. And it was no coincidence that the 2016 White Sox season ended with two players being dealt, each for a massive haul of prospects in return that was essentially a pushing of the hyperspace button in the Asteroids game. That was the old reset button. That is, you're out of here. We're sick of you. You're out of here. We're sick of your dumbass also. Let's rebuild this thing. It was in large part because of how toxic 2016 got. And Frazier and Eaton are still feuding, and Connor McKnight was there for all of
yeah, it. It was quite a year. Remember, that's the year that started 23-10. It's the year that saw Huck Harrelson go down to check on Todd Frazier when he got hit in the mouth.
one of the dumbest moments in broadcasting history.
It's
I'm gonna go check on him.
I mean it was full and on. I loved every single minute of it too. I really truly did. But Dan Hayes wrote it up in The Athletic. He was another guy who covered that team then. So he's got it out there. You can read it from the man who was there and in the clubhouse and whose job it was to write that thing up. There was a dust up between the two of them. There was a thing that happened. Bruce Levine, our own, has talked about it too. There was a fight, and I don't think there was just the one. It seemed as though they got into it many, many times. There was the locker that was shared, and then they were separated, and it was too cold or too close to the steps.
Apparently, Adam Eaton, after the fact, said, well, I wanted to move my locker anyway.
Yeah, it's not the case. It's not the thing.
And it came down to the fact that the fight, after, let's go back a couple of steps here.
Okay.
The LaRoche incident occurred when Jimmy Rollins, who was brought in to be a stabilizing veteran influence, maybe to help Tim Anderson to.
Very much.
He couldn't figure out why this 14-year-old kid was essentially being treated as a member of the team.
Right.
And asked, what the hell is this kid doing around?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, the team decided to get the weirdo kid out of there because the dad didn't want him in school and he's not big on the whole school thing.
Yeah, it was taken a little bit differently because the request was – not here for everything. Not like this. You know what I mean? Right. That was really, it was just not like
right.
this.
He's not
this
on the team.
This is too much. Like, if kids want to be out there for a little bit of it, Ozzie's talked about it too. I mean, he had children involved in some spring training stuff.
And we're not doing those shows again. Kind of
No.
But the point is, essentially, Rollins shone a light on it.
Yes.
And he was gone. And then Adam LaRoche decided he was going to retire.
Team split up a little bit differently. Remember, those are the comments Sale made afterwards saying the wrong guy left. You know, I mean, those are part of comments. This was a team somewhat divided, and this was a team that was also tasked to go win a damn division already.
And famously, Eaton was on these airwaves
yes.
with Bruce Levine, and he said what he said about losing a leader in Drake, and people were listening. People in the organization were listening, and you could hear eyes rolling across the air like, what the hell?
Well, you heard it from Rick Hahn the season afterward. I mean, the guy said yes. You don't want Good Morning America broadcasting from your facilities unless you've got a ring, unless you've got celebrations and parades.
So, about 44 games into the season, Rollins is DFA'd.
Yeah.
And that allows Anderson to come up. But what it did was it left a void for English-speaking clubhouse leadership.
Seemed that way.
Because Jose Abreu wasn't really going to be that guy. So then what precipitated the dust up, as I understand it, mm-hmm. was Eaton deciding he was going to step into that void.
It seemed that way, like an assertion of leadership and those who wanted to be out front and kind of spearhead this team and how it was going to go about being done. And don't get me wrong, like, you know, Todd Frazier is a baseball guy. Like, he's part of that clubhouse. He's a guy you do love. He's no angel. Neither is Adam Eaton.
But Frazier apparently vetoed the effort by Eaton very openly.
I don't think Frazier was the only one. I mean,
maybe he was representing a certain
when Ozzie Guillen tells you last night, like he did, that no one in a White Sox uniform liked you in a White Sox uniform. Yeah, I think it's probably fair to say that this baseball feud that's got the two of them yelling at each other. This is the most beautiful part about it. They're yelling at each other the other night about who's paid off their mortgage. I don't know. Eaton's like, I'm a grown man. I've paid off my mortgage. Maybe he doesn't have one, and Frazier's very happy that you've paid off. It's just the stupidest, dumbest back and forth.
Yeah, and Eaton said he's being childish, and he must like me because he's always yelling at me. Let's hear what Frazier had to say about it.
That's out. You know, at the end of the day, you think about what a man really is. You know, you settle stuff out in the field. You don't really talk about it. And then that's basically what I do. I mean, back in the day, that's how you usually settle it. You know, I didn't really want to talk about it. But, you know, I heard what he said. It didn't really bother me that much. But at the end of the day, U.S. guys, when I played with the White Sox in 2016, I saw 23 of those guys. They know what happened. For him to even talk after that, I don't know how you talk after that. And that's basically all I'll say after that.
Ooh. That's a shutdown, Todd. That's what that is. He's a guy who loves to talk, too, and kind of let it out. You know, just from an honesty standpoint, not from a gossip thing. So for him to go there and kind of be where he's at with this, I think it kind of tells you the level of frustration and dislike that he and many others had with Adam Eaton on that team. That's the way that season played out.
Yeah, Adam Eaton decided he was going to be a leader, and Todd Frazier decided that's not going to fly.
Stiff arm, like a little cousin coming up against somebody.
You're not leading us anywhere. No. We know you're a phony, and everybody in this locker room knows you're a phony. That's not happening.
Wasn't so much interested.
And your locker's moving over there, and Tim Anderson's getting the locker next to mine.
And really, when you think about it, I've mentioned this before, like when we had Tim Anderson on a couple of weeks ago to talk about the way he wants to play baseball and where he sees his role for the White Sox in the coming years. He got put next to Todd Frazier, and we watched it all happen. I mean, we covered that team. Todd would sit down with him and go over infield alignments, like where are you on this guy, where do you need to be for this guy. Like it was almost like a quiz, like checking out where people needed to be and how you were going to play defense. It was like the very little things, the very how to prepare, veteran leads rookie kind of stuff that you're begging and hoping your veterans, your kind of, you know, end of the line veterans that you sign for $6-7 million, you hope that you find some extra value there and for your franchise going forward too. If you haven't read, Peter Gammons has a really interesting piece in The Athletic today about those kind of contracts, that the $5-7 million guys on the back end of a career and the added value that teams are trying to find with basically leadership, all this old stuff that as a sabermetrics guy, I spent yelling about and screaming about not mattering for the better part of 10 years, only to find out that it turns out a lot of front offices do care about this stuff and are trying to put metrics on brains as much as anything else. These contracts matter, or at least can be made to, and that's the kind of added value that a Todd Frazier in 2016 is hoped to give the White Sox in 2020. It's bizarre to think about.
It's such a dumb feud.
Oh, it's so stupid.
That's Adam. Like, why do you think he decided?
Immaturity. If you know Adam, like every team he's been on, you hear what people say. You understand. And I was part of it for a year and a half. So,
are you surprised to hear his comments?
No.
And wasn't there also an incident in 2016? Wasn't there also something between Rollins and Brett Laurie?
Oh, yeah. There was some early season, like home runs that Laurie had hit or J-Roll had hit or something like that. He hit a walk-off. I think J-Roll hit a walk-off in Oakland in the first series of the year, and there was kind of a miss on a high five or something, so that led to some speculation. I thought you were going to go in a different direction. Remember, Adam Eaton... got into it with Miguel Montero, with the Diamondbacks, as it pertained to leadership as well. So when Eaton was leaving that team, you had write-ups from, boy, I wish I could remember that. Was it Kevin Acey or something like that, just covering the Diamondbacks? He had written it up, and Montero's like, yeah, I didn't really like the guy that very much.
I love Miggy.
I just didn't like him.
This is a perfect place for me to slide this note in as we're mentioning the White Sox sort of tangentially here. I saw this, and tell me who you think this is when I give you this slash line.
Okay.
And this is in 46 plate appearances.
Okay. Just a little bit of work.
46 plate appearances. What does this represent? 366, 435, 780.
366.
After yesterday.
435?
Yeah. 780.
80. Well, that's a guy who's absolutely torching it.
That is Jose Abreu against Justin Verlander. Yeah. And I don't know what that means, what it says about anything, but thanks to Craig Calcaterra, and if you don't read his daily wrap-up called And That Happened,
he's terrific.
It's just a great way of catching up on everything that happened in Major League Baseball through the eyes of a very, very smart and witty baseball writer. But he said, excuse me, this was entering last night's game. He was hitting 366, 435, 780 with five homers and two doubles off of Justin Verlander in 46 plate appearances.
Remember when Daniel Murphy got super hot in the playoffs a couple of years ago for the Mets? He and Jose Abreu, I think, were the only two players that season to have homered off Cy Young Award winners in Kershaw, in Verlander, they added in Syndergaard and Arrieta at the time, and John Lester. They were the only two players to get homers off all of those guys in their career. Just for whatever reason, Jose can turn it up against Cy Young pitchers. It's weird.
Looking forward to having a conversation with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. A lot of goings on in the NFL right now. We've got critical injuries. We have some collective bargaining that's actually taking place. And there's maybe some good news on that front. We're going to touch base on absolutely all of it. And a little bit later on, we're going to have Bears List.
It's a big day.
It's on the, if we're doing a ranking of lists, Bears List has moved ahead of Franz List.
Bears List is very, you came in today all up and bothered about Bears List. We've got number 50 through 26 coming for you a little bit later on today. But Mike Florio's next. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.